If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3 this morning. And I know this is hard to believe, but we're going to make it through the whole chapter this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're just going to stop the clock and just, no. Philippians chapter 3, though. You know, I really appreciate the Apostle Paul for many things. I appreciate the testimony of his life. I appreciate his faithfulness. I appreciate his approach to life as well. And that's what I see here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul's approach to living the Christian life. And, you know, the key theme in Philippians is rejoicing. Rejoicing, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul starts again, rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a touching law Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count those all, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many, be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose conversation is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that your word would just be a help and a blessing, a strength and encouragement to us today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, if you were to just stop and think about life, there's so many things that can distract you as you go through life, right? I mean, just stop and think about it. You folks that have to take medicines every day, you know, you have to take your pills every day, right? Why is it that when you go to reach in the cabinet for your pills, you know, you're focused, you need to take this medicine, and right there next to it is the Oreos, right? Right? What happens? Well, you know, wind up eating the Oreos and then I forget to take the pills, right? You know, how many times have you walked through the kitchen and been distracted by the refrigerator, right? You're supposed to be putting something away, but you're taking more stuff out than you're putting away. Someone said, when they used the phrase they clean the refrigerator, really it meant they just sat down and ate everything that was in it. But you know, I was just thinking for the last few days about how many distractions there are when you're preaching the Word of God, I was just thinking, if I was going to write a book, and I'm not going to write a book because I don't have time to write a book, and I get bored every time I start to think about it. But if I was going to write a book, I think I'd write a book on the distractions of preaching. Because, boy, it is just, they don't teach, did they have a class? No, one of the most important classes they ought to have is how to handle distractions when you're preaching the Word of God. Because when you're in ministry and you're preaching all the time, you have to learn just how to keep going amidst the distractions. And I was thinking of all the distractions over the year. I remember one time, and some of them are just, they're comical in a way. I remember one time I was preaching a message, and I don't usually remember the title of my messages, but this one I remember. It was out of the book of Ephesians. It was How Blessed We Are in Christ. And the title of the message was The Fountain of Blessing. And as I began to preach the message about the fountain of blessing, a little boy right here in the front row got sick to his stomach and threw up. And I remember just looking over as he began to throw up, and it was just a fountain of... In fact, it got so... We had to stop the message because anyways, you know, I was preaching in an old church up in Vermont, and the chandelier broke. You know, these old churches, the big old chandeliers, and, you know, and it was up in Rutland. And the chandelier broke, and the chain broke, and all of a sudden, boom, it dropped about a foot, and the wire held it, fortunately, because there were people sitting underneath. That would have been a big distraction. But, you know, I've had people walk up on the pulpit. We had a man down, I mean, so many distractions. You know, fire trucks and thunder and lightning. We had a man walk in up in Willimantic and just push a shopping cart right before the service started. Just came right in, walked in the front door, pushed a shopping cart full of returnables and six-pack of beer on the top, and just asked everybody if everybody want a brew. I said, nope, we're all set. Okay, thanks. Off he went. And but I was just, the reason I was reminded of that, because Thursday night we're having Bible study, and all of a sudden there's this, I mean, tremendous banging going on. I mean, you could feel the wall of the church was shaking. I mean, it was boom, just boom, boom. And it was toward the end of the Bible study, so, I mean, we just kept going and everything. But right after service, I went out front. Now, they're renovating the outside of the church. But at 10 minutes of 8 on a Thursday night, you have this guy out there, this big, strapping guy, who is under the weather, and he's got a big sledgehammer. And Will, he's standing out there, and he is smashing the cinder block wall of the church. I mean, just bam! And the front wall is shaking. And I went over and started to ask him something, couldn't get a response. So we took a picture, texted the owner, and went on our way. But, you know, how do you just go through life with all the distractions? Right? Now, the distractions that Paul is speaking about are serious. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, as Paul writes and speaks about rejoicing, boy, there's a lot of things that could have hindered Paul from rejoicing in the Lord, could have distracted him from his purpose. Paul's purpose in life was twofold. He says, I'm going to live for Christ. For to me to live is Christ. He says, I want my life to please God, to please Christ. I want to live for Christ. That's my purpose. And he says, along the way, my other purpose is I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to share the gospel. Paul says, those are really my two focuses in life. I'm going to live for Christ, and I'm going to preach the gospel of Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says in Philippians 1, striving together for the faith of the gospel. But you know, as you think of the life of Paul, boy, there's a lot of things that could have distracted Paul or hindered Paul or discouraged Paul or even stopped Paul from living for Christ and preaching Christ. He talks in Philippians chapter 1 about the things that have happened unto him. I mean, you just think of all the circumstances that came to Paul in his life. And yet here he is in prison. He says, you know what? I'm not going to let the fact that I'm in under house arrest in Rome hinder me. I'm going to keep living for Christ, and I'm going to keep preaching for Christ. And the Bible says he spent 2 years there, and there was no man forbidding him, and people came in, and people were getting saved. He says, I'm just going to keep going for Christ. But there were other things that, you know, in Philippians chapter 1, there are other things that could have distracted him, could have hindered him, could have stopped him, whatever. He says, there's other people that are preaching with wrong motivations. He says, I got one guy in Philippians chapter 1. He says, there's one guy, he's preaching out of contention. He's wanting to add affliction to my soul. In chapter 3, he's got people that are messed up with their doctrine and their faith. Well, they're not even their faith, because they're Pharisees and Judaizers. And he says there, you know, they're teaching that you need to do something to be saved. In chapter 3, he's also got people that aren't living for the Lord. And you know what the theme of Philippians chapter 3 is? No matter what, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ with a right attitude and a right heart. And you know what I like about Paul? Paul is bold, Paul is blunt, but Paul is brief. He's bold, blunt, and brief. He says, yeah, I'm going to address it. He says, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to tell it like it is. He says, this guy's preaching out of contention. Look in chapter 3. How does he describe these people that are preaching a false doctrine of salvation through works? He says, you know what? They're dogs, they're evil workers, they're concision. People that are living their own, they're in chapter 3, later on, he says, these people that are living for themselves, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, I'm going to be bold. He's going to be blunt. He's because it's about my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He is and all that He is, all that He means. He says, but I'm going to be brief too. He says, it is not going to distract me and discourage me and deter me from what God has purposed for me to do, to live for Him and to preach Christ. He says, I'm just going to keep going on. And he says, I'm going to keep going on with the right attitude. So my message this morning from Philippians chapter 3 is for us, all right? Hey, listen, there's distractions in life. There will be. But what are you going to do? I got three things I'm going to keep doing. Three things you ought to keep doing. Three things we ought to keep doing. And my wife asked me to say them properly. Okay? I'm going to keep glowing, growing, and going. Because I told her, I said, my 3 points this morning, I'm going to keep glowing, growing, and going. She says, could you put an ing on the end of it, please? Another distraction. No, but anyways, I'm going to keep glowing. Look at what Paul says. Look at verse number 1. Now he's talking about people that have false doctrine about the most important thing, about salvation. And what's the first thing he says? Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know what? There's a lot of people out there preaching false doctrine today. Guess what? I'm going to keep glowing and rejoicing in my salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone, right? David writes and he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The prophet writes and says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus Christ says, Jesus himself said, I want you to have my joy. I want you to be full of my joy, and I want my joy to remain in you. And you know, one of the first things is rejoicing in the Lord. Listen, Paul says this. Listen, look what Paul says. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the concision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, Paul says, you can say what you want. You can talk all about how you think you need to work for your salvation. He said, listen, I know first well, I know personally, I know doctrine, I know biblically, I know personally, it don't work. He said, if there's anybody that's going to stand by what they had in the flesh when it comes to religion and when it comes to themselves, he says, it would be me. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is not blameless. He says, if you're going to add it all up, he says, I got the list. He says, but you know what? None of it worked. None of it accounted. Because the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And he says, all those things, they didn't profit me one bit. He says, I'm going to stay with the truth. And the truth is simple. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Right? Jesus Christ paid it all. He says, so you can say whatever you want. I'm going to stick with what I know is the truth. And the truth is, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved me. And he says, I'm going to rejoice in Jesus Christ. He says, I am just going to glory. He says, I'm going to glow in Jesus Christ. Listen, as you go through life, you know, one of the things that should put a smile on your face as you walk through this world is the fact that you know you are saved because of Jesus Christ. You are saved because of Jesus Christ. Because of nothing else but Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, verse 3. He says, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. I don't have any confidence in the flesh when it comes to salvation. I don't have any confidence in the flesh when it comes to serving the Lord. Amen? I got no confidence in the flesh. Because I know what's in my flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Right? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But I can rejoice in Jesus Christ because he saved me, he keeps me, he's my Savior, and I am secure in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against this day. And he says, I don't have any confidence in flesh. He says, I rejoice in Christ Jesus, who came and sought me out and died for me, was buried, rose again, shed his blood for me. He saved me. He saved me. And he says, and by the way, he says, I worship God in the spirit. It's from my heart. It's from within. It's from within. Yes, it affects my life. But it's not a religion. It's not what I do. It's who I am in Christ. And look what he says. Look what he says. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, it's all about the gospel. Jesus Christ saved me. And he says, it's all about the right gain. The right gain. He says, all those things, they didn't profit me anything. He says, what counted for me is Christ. Christ. That's what counts. That's where the gain is, folks. The gain is Christ. Without Christ, there is nothing. With Christ, there is everything. And it's simply by faith in Jesus Christ. This is not even faith in wondering whether you said the right words or anything. Right? What did the Bible say? Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? Aren't you glad that, listen, can you imagine if God said, you have to be saved by saying these exact words in this language. Right? Whew. And you have to say it while you're standing perfectly upright with a proper tone of voice. Right? Aren't you glad the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? Listen. God doesn't say you have to understand everything about it. I don't understand how a life preserver works. All I know is there are times when people need them, and when they need them, it works, right? I don't understand why they're red and white. All I know is you're drowning in that ocean, someone throws you a life preserver. Listen. You aren't even going to stop to read the fine print on the back of it. You're going to grab out and reach onto it and be rescued. Amen? And Paul says, listen,
I don't care what they're teaching. He says, I know this. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the road to Damascus. He saved my soul. And I am just going to keep smiling because of my Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep glowing in the Lord. Amen? Number two. He says, that's only the beginning. Because look what else he says. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. You might say, what's Paul saying? Basically, what Paul is saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm saved. He says, now I'm just going to keep growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says, look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, first of all, I'm going to keep growing in my Lord, that he is not only my Savior, but he is my life. He's everything. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. He's the one that's keeping me. He's the one that I serve. He's the one I live for. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I'm gonna grow in my relationship with the Lord. He says, I'm going to grow. And listen, maybe this is a newsflash, but every one of us is growing at a different rate in our Christian life. Right? Every one of us is growing at a different rate. But who's working in us? What is Philippians chapter 1 verse 6? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I'm going to keep growing in the Lord. I'm just going to keep growing in him. And you know, look what he says in verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. He said, listen, another newsflash. This is the apostle Paul who wrote the majority of the New Testament. And you know what he's saying here? He's saying, I don't know it all. Wow. That's Paul. Paul says, guess what? I haven't arrived. I don't have a perfect knowledge. I don't know everything, but I do know Jesus Christ, my Savior. I know he's my Lord. I know what he's done for me. I know what he's doing for me. But you know, when you start to listen to someone that thinks they know it all, boy, I tell you what. Go get an ice cream cone. It'll do more for you. All right? Speaking of distractions, wow. Yesterday we were down in East Lyme in Niantic. Actually, now I'm distracting you from listening to the message. But you know how many distractions there were trying to hand out those cards yesterday? I mean, there are bakeries, there are ice cream shops, there are Mediterranean restaurants. There were just so many things that could have distracted us, right? Paul says, I'm going to keep growing. But I want you to understand something. When Paul speaks about growing, he focuses on one aspect of growing. Look at chapter 3, look at chapter verse 10, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being made conformable unto his death.
He is not talking about spiritual intellectualism that will make him think that he is smarter and better and superior to everybody else. He's thinking about a personal knowledge of Christ in the reality of his everyday life. Paul says, I might know him. He says, the power of his resurrection. He says that I might know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life. That I might know and see the power of Christ in my life, changing me, working in me, making me different in and through Christ. He says that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might know through Christ what it means to put away things and to give up things and to be separate from things that meant something to me before. That I might know what it means to be made conformable unto death, that I'm dead to self and I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to Jesus Christ. That I might know him in my life. There's people that have the biggest library, huge libraries filled with books of knowledge and wisdom. And yet, where is the power of Christ in their life? Paul says, if any man be Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul says, I'm not only going to keep glowing in Christ, I'm going to keep growing in Christ. I'm going to keep learning how to pray. I'm going to keep learning how to live. I'm going to keep learning about Christ in my life. He says, so that the life that I now live in the flesh is different. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And folks, that's the difference. That's the difference. Is knowing Christ in a real way in your life. So that he changes your life as an individual. So he changes your life as a husband. So he changes your life as a wife or a mom or a dad or a parent. So he changes your life in the workplace and in the community. So he changes your life so that you know Christ is real within you. That'll affect the outside too, by the way. But he says, I'm going to keep growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to keep growing in the Lord so that there is righteousness in my life, but it's by Christ working in me. It's not by me trying to reform or change. It's by Christ changing me. He's in verse 12. He says, I haven't already attained. He says, I'm not perfect. But I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm just going to keep growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's one more. He says, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. You know, there's a lot of things in life that'll try, just the potential to get you to stop doing something, right? A lot of things. Paul said, but I'm determined that nothing is going to stop me from going on for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm just going to keep pressing on. Look what he says. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. He says, I haven't arrived. Aren't you thankful that Paul says that? Aren't you thankful? Paul says, I haven't arrived. He says, I haven't learned everything yet, and my life certainly isn't perfect yet. He says, but this one thing I do, this is what I like about him. You like how simple he is and direct he is? He's this one thing I do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget those things which are behind. You know why? You keep bringing up everything that's behind, it'll drag you down. It'll drag you down quicker than when you throw your line in and it gets stuck in the weeds, right? You know? He says, I'm moving on. I'm keep going. Here's what I'm going to do. He says, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I'm just going to reach out. And here's what he's reaching out for. Look what he says. And not only does he say reaching out, he says, but I am going to press. This man, I just love this guy's attitude. I'm going to press. He says, I'm not going to reach out, but I'm going to press. In other words, he says, I am determined to go forward. I am going to press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm just going to press on. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep doing what I know is right. I'm going to keep living for the Lord. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep plugging away for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. You know why? Well, because it's what the Lord has told us to do. Live for me, love me, look for me, long for me, and let everybody else know all about me. Amen? This is a very down, simple, practical message, isn't it? He says, but I'm going to keep pressing. He says, I am going to press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm just going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pressing on for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let anybody else slow me down. I'm not going to let stop me. I'm not going to let them hinder me. I know my Savior. I'm growing in my Savior. I love my Savior, and I'm going to live for Him. And you know what He says? He says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. He says, this is how we ought to approach life. This is how we ought to go through life. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Don't get all worked about it. God's working in your life. He'll show you things. He'll keep you on the right path. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And he says, you know what? Look to the people that are living right and doing right. Right? Stop looking at all the others. Look at the people that are living right and doing right. Living for the Lord, longing for the Lord, preaching the gospel. Listen, we talk about this camp in Peru. I get so excited about the camp in Peru. I'm going. I talked with Pastor Matsuda. He says, why don't you come over and preach? I said, you got it. I looked at my schedule, which I should check with Erica, but she always reminds me, you have a schedule. But I looked at my schedule. I'm free. I said, great. I'm going to have alpaca stew, and that's where they're serving for the main meal. It's just like, no, real alpaca. I probably shouldn't have said that. But it's just like cow. It's no different, okay? But anyways, you know why? So that I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, let's keep going. And look what he says. Verse 20, for our conversations in heaven. From else also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like in His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He says, you know why I'm going to keep going? Because I know where the end of the road is. He says, I know the end of the story. I know where my home is. I know where I'm headed. And I know what God's going to do. And He's going to change this vile body. And He's going to fashion it like unto His glorious body. And he says, that's where our conversation is. So, you know, folks, listen. Simple message this morning. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You know, pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Don't get deterred by things or people or anything else. Listen, glow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the fact that you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And no one can take that away from you. Amen? And then grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we fellowship one with another. That's why we get together, to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then just keep going. Just keep going. Keep plugging away. Keep going. You know, when I get together with pastors say, how's it going? And you know what? You know what the most commonly used phrase among pastors is? We're just still plugging along. We're just still plugging along. One step in front of the other. Going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving Him. Learning of Him.
living for him, and letting everybody else know all about him. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that you just keep us focused on you. Lord, that the distractions of life and everything else, Lord, that they come, they go, but Lord, we just keep pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, souls are in danger and need to be saved. Lord, we have a purpose in life, which is to live for thee, only for thee and always for thee, and tell others about you. And Lord, I pray that you just encourage us and strengthen us, and Lord, get us excited about living for you and preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we just have the joy of the Lord and the joy of thy salvation. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.